I asked to be able to do the Devo. I know y'all are probably tired of seeing me three Wednesdays in a row standing up here, but it's because I had a little bit left in my tank that I ran out of time on. Okay, so I'm going to cover that quickly, probably looking more at my notes than looking at you so I can get through it in a timely manner. But if you remember right, we closed last Wednesday's Bible class kind of differentiating between heavenly and earthly wisdom, okay? And we read a lot of passages, and I didn't even read all of them that I had notated because we were running short on time. So we can conclude that heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom, comes from above. Earthly wisdom is from below. That's what we talked about in our class. Before we get started, though, with the Devo, let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Okay, I'm going to read that real quick. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, this is repeated kind of in 1 Peter also, where God doesn't want anyone to perish. Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind, because this is where God's wisdom comes from. He is omnipotent. He knows all, and He doesn't want anyone to perish. So when we question the wisdom of God with earthly wisdom, we don't get it. Okay? We're not omnipotent. We don't understand the best method to get everyone into heaven. We don't fully comprehend that. God does. So sometimes when it seems like things don't quite make sense, why does God tell us this? It's because He knows better than us. Okay? So James chapter 3 is where I told y'all to keep this stuff in mind when we were speeding through all those verses. But in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, we have a very good description of earthly versus heavenly wisdom. And in verses 1 through 12, just for a little background so you know where this is coming from, we see that he's speaking to teachers. Okay, and he says you need to bridle your whole body so you can be a good teacher. You need to bridle your tongue, like the bit of a horse, you know, in the mouth, or a rudder on a boat. Okay, the tongue is very dangerous. Watch what you say. Okay, and then he goes into verse 13 through 18. Okay, so there's probably some in this crowd, if I were thinking just based off of the fluidity of the verses, they probably think they got it all under control already. Okay? Because then he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Okay? Right then and there, we can see that earthly wisdom is created through bitter envy, self-seeking hearts, and in fact, it has all kinds of evil in it, and it calls it demonic. Okay? So, on the contrary, heavenly or godly wisdom is characterized by purity, peacefulness, gentle, willing to yield, merciful, good works. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Okay? Now, let's relate this to some of the stories we know in the Bible. Saul, king of Israel. Okay? He is defeating the Amalekites. Brian talked about it. He doesn't do it the way God says to do it, though. God said, kill everybody, man, woman, child, beast, everything. Don't take anything for yourself. But he didn't. And if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, he didn't do it because he feared the people. That's very self-seeking, right? Very self-seeking. He wanted to keep his power over the people, okay? He didn't want to usurp authority and say, no, y'all are wrong, because he was worried about what they would do, okay? Very self-preserving mentality there. only thinking of himself, because God punished Saul, okay? And we see that he'll punish other people based off of things like that, not listening, okay? So, that's in, if you're taking notes, that's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, where we see the reason why he didn't listen to God, okay? And we know later that he gets punished for that. On the contrary, though, this was a man of government, a leader, right? We see another leader in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, and then again in verse 42, who yields himself. We see that in our James 3 passage. Jesus Christ, two times, says, "Let the cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." Okay? He did not want to do it. Self-preservation says, don't do it. Self-seeking just says, don't do it. But he did it anyways. Okay? So, we know what the news is all about right now. We can read, we can hear. We know that there are limitations being put on godly people when it comes to worshiping God. Here's something I heard this week on the radio on my way in. Broke my heart. The governor of Nevada has prohibited any worshiping of more than 50 people. Yet he leaves those Las Vegas casinos, strip clubs, all that stuff, 50% capacity. Okay, think about that. That's a lot of people in there. There are church buildings bigger than some of those casinos that are only allowed to have 50 people in them. Not 50%, 50 people. Okay? We see all over the world the church is limited. We have missionaries in India that they're having problems getting buildings built. We have missionaries in the Philippines. It's even worse. The government is pushing on the church. Okay? But the good news is the church is still flourishing. Okay? We see Saul of Tarsus going against the church, and it flourished. Okay? This isn't necessarily bad news all around. There's some good news here. The church is going to flourish in hard times. Okay? However, we got to be ready. We got to be watching so we know when to stand up. My dad taught me how to be a man and courageously stand for what's right. My mom taught me what the Bible says so I know what's right. Okay? And a sweet, sweet lady worshiped here, changed my whole life forever. Her name was Claudia Hinesley. She was a missionary's wife. Her husband preached in this pulpit. I never met him. But she taught me how to apply that standing up for right and that wisdom that comes from the Bible and how to use that for the furthering of the kingdom of God. She changed me more than anybody. You can know what the Bible says and not practice it. You can stand up for good things, but it's not in accordance with the Word of God. But you got to have someone that teaches you how to do both of those things. And that lady did it for me. She held my child in the hospital. Wouldn't let anyone else hold Kipton. Really? There were other people in the room. She wouldn't give Kipton up. She loved the church. She loved it. So, we are so blessed in this congregation to have leadership in our elders that are not striving to prohibit our worship and assembling together. And I honestly believe that the men that are leading this congregation won't allow, they'll find some way to keep us assembling as we're commanded, because God's wisdom says to do it. Why? Well, it's probably really logical. It helps boost us up, right? Why do we baptize? Why don't we just eat peanut butter? It's so much better than getting all wet. Well, not everyone can eat peanut butter. Think about it. Who's got a peanut allergy? A lot of people. Okay? Water is in 70% of our bodies. We can all handle a little extra water. Okay? And that's the thing. God is omnipotent. He knows more than anyone could possibly think to know. And he knows the most logical, beneficial way to grow the church. And when he says do it, we do it. And when he says don't do it, we don't do it. It doesn't matter how good musical instruments sound. He didn't say to do it. He did not say to do it. Man, that's a full sound when you got a big band. Man, just overpowering. But that's not what God wanted. Why? Where's the focus? Focus isn't on the worship. It becomes on that band. What a great guitar solo, dude. You know? That's not what it's about. It's about assembling and worshiping together in a fashion that God wants. I'm very thankful to be here in St. Angelo at 9th of May. I hope you all realize how blessed we are. There's churches of Christ in this city that aren't gathering anymore. It's a sad thing. Think about their members. Think about the people that aren't getting the edification they need from their fellow brothers and sisters. That's bad. It is really bad. So, this was not a devotional of the gospel per se, on how to be saved, why we need to be saved, but it is an exhortation to the church that it's time to make sure that we're being watchful, to make sure that we are ready to stand up and take our lashings like Jesus did, because God said, no, sorry, this cup's not passing from you. If there's any reason that we can help you tonight as we stand and sing, we ask that you come forward, whether it's for spiritual purposes of salvation or whether it's for spiritual purposes of coming back into the church. Okay? You know who you are, and we want to help you where we can. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand and sing.